It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Everyone.
Aw, all 20 of you.
21. We have 21.
Yay!
I'm Brittany.
No, I'm Justine.
No. Yeah, you're Justine. You're Justin.
I'm Justin.
And you're listening to It's About Damn Crime.
Is it about crime?
No.
Oh, all right.
It's about fashion.
About fashion and beer drinking.
Yeah. And makeup.
Makeup. Drinking dirty, rotten, old champagne.
Oh, that was it was a good time.
It was fun, but not bad for decision. Me. Not for me the next day at work.
Because you had to go to work at 7. Or no, in 7 hours.
What time did I leave? No, I left 2? Later than that.
In the morning? Oh. And you had to be at work at what time?
8. Too old, man. Too old.
It's a very good decision.
I make the best decisions, always.
Mm-hmm. With your Tinder date.
I haven't been on a date in a while. Just this podcast takes up a lot of my time, and I don't have time for anything else.
It really does take a lot of time.
So much time.
Yeah. So, we are vlogging today.
Yeah, for episode 10.
Yes. We're in the double digits.
We did it.
It's a maze.
That's so weird.
I love it.
It's very bizarre for me.
Did you think we were going to get up to episode 10?
I mean, I hoped. That wasn't too, positive. I thought we would have had a fight by now.
I mean, we do fight.
Every time we record, we fight.
Every time we fight. That's but it's
true.
Okay.
That's true. Because we fight, and then we laugh about it right afterwards. Yeah. Like, as we're fighting.
That's just friendship goals.
Yeah. Just talk shit, and it's fine.
Yeah.
So let's acknowledge that we have a Gabriel in the room.
A Gabriel. I thought you were going to say a guest.
A guest Gabriel.
A guest Gabriel.
Gabe, say hi. You have to say hi really loud so that our mics pick it up.
Hi, everybody.
I don't know if you heard
with
that.
With his deep voice.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
That was him again. No, just kidding. That was me.
So let's see. I've known Gabe since I was a freshman. Were we in 8th grade? I don't know if I can remember. It's been a long time. Long time.
I've known Gabriel since I met Scott, so 9.
Almost just as long.
9 years ago.
Yeah. Do you wish you could go back in time and change that day?
Yes.
Me too. I was telling him that he had to come up with a stranger danger, and he goes,
He's flipping us off.
Majorly flipping us off. Fripping us off.
Fripping.
I told him I had to come up with a stranger danger, and he was like, the only thing that I can remember is the day that I met you.
That's the perfect reply.
Which is super fucking rude.
I love it.
And I'm angry about it.
Still?
I'm salty about it. It's going to be 20 years from now, and I'm still going to be angry about it. So, my friend Gabriel here is Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
We've experience lots of Hawaiian things with Gabriel.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
We no longer call our flip-flops. They are now slippers.
You know what? I have picked that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty mad about it.
Slippers. What else do you people tell me? I have eaten pig that was buried in the ground at one point.
Dude, that's the best kind
of delicious.
Pig. It's the best. I love pig. In the ground.
I'm so hot.
Cooked. It's a maze. If you haven't tried it. Oh, wait. If you haven't. Yeah. If you haven't tried it, try it. I thought I said that wrong.
Perfect. There's 1,000 lights on in this room right now, and it's really fucking hot.
Ugh. You're sweating.
I'm sweating.
Your makeup's running.
It's like falling down my cheeks.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's on your white shirt now.
Ah, perfect. Just where I like it. What else? What else do we got?
That's it.
That's it?
I think so.
Yeah. So this is going to go up Wednesday.
Whenever the vlog, or whenever the
podcast goes up. So Wednesday. Wednesday will go up. Gonna go up.
Yeah, so Wednesday it'll be up.
We'll go up Wednesday. We'll talk about it before then.
Yeah. The link on all the social media channels.
Yeah. If you want to see what Gabe looks like, there's a picture of him up on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
I
think that's it.
Yeah. So
I don't have anything new.
I haven't talked to anybody online.
Twitter. Drink a lot of beer. Twitter. No Tinder stories?
I have no Tinder stories right now.
You're supposed to
That's not true. That's not true. Some guy, I matched with some guy on Tinder. Wait, hold on. Let me see what it says. I was very confused. I was like, what? So I matched with this guy, and then he messaged me, and he's like, called me out. Should have swiped left.
Huh?
What the fuck are you talking about? I have no idea.
Like, you should have swiped left, or he should have swiped left?
I don't know. Apparently, I called him out. On what?
You called him out?
Not sure. Never talked to him, never said a word to him, so I don't really know.
Maybe he got into a car crash, hit his head, and now he's kooky. Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Which brings us to this week's story.
Segway.
All right, so
are you ready to get into it?
Yeah. Side note, we took a trip to the Hawaiian Islands for this story for our special guest over here.
Of course. We had to.
We had to do it.
It's a special episode.
This is our Hawaiian-themed episode. Very soon I'll be drinking a Big Wave. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, Big Waves.
I don't know where I put
them. We're drinking the Big Waves again today.
Big Waves and Heineken.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we're drinking Heineken.
Which, for me, I do not like going from Big Waves to Heineken's because...
Or Heineken's to Big Waves?
Well, last week I had Big Waves.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting Big Waves.
Oh, and then you drank
Heineken. Then I drank a Heineken, today.
Yeah, and you're like, this doesn't taste the same.
And it doesn't compare to a Big Wave.
I mean, it's...
What's stronger, a Big Wave or a Heine?
Heineken.
No wonder it tastes like shit. Just kidding.
I think they're the same.
I almost got IPAs.
Ugh.
I'd rather drink an IPA and get fucked up.
Perfect. All right. Shut up.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do it. This week, we are doing the Xerox murders. And I had to ask Brittany if Xerox was still a thing.
It's so old, right?
Are your copiers and stuff in your work still Xerox?
I think Xerox is still a company and you can still buy, like, the big printers from there.
Because I'm pretty sure all our stuff is, like, HP.
Well, yeah, but I think a Xerox still exists. It's just not...
As well known.
Popular now, like so, as it was before.
Well.
Maybe it's because of these murders.
Probably. All right. Ready?
Go for it, baby.
All right. FYI, I'm going to butcher some of these names because that's just who I am. All right. Byron. Ooh, other side note, I typed up this whole story and called this guy Brian the whole time.
Then, thank God, she sent it to me to look over it. And proofread, because I was like, no, this guy isn't Brian. His name is
so nerve-wracking.
Byron. His name is Byron.
Okay.
And then she said, maybe that's why he's crazy, because he was supposed to be Brian.
He was supposed to be Brian, not Byron. Stupid-ass name. Anyways. All right, so Byron Koji. Oh, Yuasugi.
Yuasugi?
Yuasugi, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. He was born in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1959. I've been to Honolulu. I think. Been to Hawaii lots of times. Have you?
I feel like you've only been to Hawaii once.
No, I've gone 3 times. I had a life before I knew you.
Really? I didn't know that.
Perfect.
I thought your life started when you met me.
No. That's when it started its slow descent. Right. To madness. Anyways, all right. He was a quiet kid and never got into any sort of trouble. He attended Roosevelt High School and was a part of the school's junior ROTC program.
Dude, I did not like those kids in the ROTC program.
Oh, I feel like they always had high waters. Their pants were always...
I knew this kid...
And ankle biters.
I knew this kid in the ROTC program in middle school. Mm-hmm. And we could be talking about toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And he would always bring it back to ROTC. Aww. Like, that's how much he was in it.
All right. He was also on the rifle team. Just a normal boy living a normal life.
Like you do.
Like you do in high school.
You have all the sex. I wonder if he drank.
He wasn't. I feel like he wasn't having sex in high school.
No, he was not cute.
I feel like if you're in the ROTC, you're not having sex.
That's where all the nerds go. Aww. That's where all the virgins go. ROTC. Aww, that's sad.
That's so sad. Anyways. Okay. In 1977, Byron suffered a head injury. And we all know that nothing good has ever come from a head injury.
No fucking way.
Ever. Byron crashed into a telephone pole in his dad's car and smacked his head against the windshield.
I like that you smacked your own head.
I smacked my own head. That was a little sound effect for you guys. And according to Brian's brother... Oh, motherfuck! And according to Byron's brother, Dennis, he was never the same again. Also, when I typed up Dennis, I typed him up as Denise. And I had to go through and fix him.
Facepalm.
Byron enjoyed raising koi and goldfish. He would sell them to local pet stores. He enjoyed woodwork and restoring old engines. But he had another hobby.
What was it?
I don't think you want to know.
I do want to know.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Byron liked collecting guns.
Of course.
Of course he did. And when he eventually completely lost his shit, which he will, he had a total of 25 guns registered to his...
Who needs that many guns? Why do you need 25 guns?
What did I say in my story here? If we are not in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, no one needs that many guns.
Dude, if I'm in the zombie apocalypse, I'm going to be like Michonne from Walking Dead. Get the samurai sword. Oh,
I feel like you'd probably cut yourself.
I would.
Probably cut off your arm and then mine.
And then we'd all die.
Cut off Gabe's hair. We're going to cut off Gabe's hair later. Shh, don't tell him.
Ah, shit. So, in 1984, Byron landed himself a tech job with Xerox. And then things started getting real weird.
That's because Byron was real weird.
Yeah. He was all the fucking...
FYI.
Cuckoo, cuckoo. Shortly after his mother died in 1988, he started to complain of poking sensations in his head. Just imagine getting that feeling.
I do not really understand what that is. Like someone's poking you inside your head?
I don't know what it feels like. I'm not crazy.
Oh, that's true. Are you sure? Oops. Sorry, I hit my mic.
Am I sure I'm not crazy?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But I could be...
Crazy.
Crazy in saying that I'm not crazy.
Perfect.
Just like crazy people do. So, sometimes he would also feel the poking in his neck, shoulders, arms, and legs. I feel like that would feel like a massage.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Knees and toes!
This poking sensation went on for years! And Byron said he would feel it multiple times a week. Wouldn't that feel like a massage?
Clearly it didn't feel good.
I feel like he wasn't taking advantage.
He was approaching it the wrong way.
Once Byron even called out for work because the poking was so intense. His brother Dennis, I almost called him Denise.
Denise.
Because you said that earlier.
He could be Denise. Denise.
His brother Dennis remembers coming home from work that same day and finding Byron hitting himself in the head with his fists. Now, you know his ass is fucking cuckoo.
I mean, if you're hitting yourself in the head, it's time for some therapy. Maybe some Jesus.
He had also started seeing black shadow around the house.
Dude, we have a friend, Alika. Has he ever told you his ghost story?
Like, probably, but I don't pay attention.
The same creepy thing. Like, he's seen it multiple times throughout his life.
He's told me, but tell it again.
I don't remember it. I just remember that it scared the fuck out of me.
Do you remember Gabriel?
He's the one that was in his house that was pushing the ball around?
Yeah. And he said that he's seen it. Oh, God, it's so weird. I'm, like, talking
it's
to Gabriel.
It's like a dark figure that was crawling around on the ground that looks like his little brother Damien before he grew up.
What the hell?
We might need to get Alika help. This is like a sign.
So one night he said the shadow showed up at the foot of his bed and grabbed onto his ankles.
Nope.
Which, I guess while Justine was writing this,
it scared the shit out of me.
It gave her all the chills.
It scared me. I was telling Brittany, like, I had my window. It was at night. It was late at night because I procrastinate and I leave everything till the last minute.
Yeah.
So I was typing this up last minute, late at night. And I had my window in my room wide open. It was windy as fuck that day. And so the wind was, like, blowing. And, like, this... There was, like, creepy... I don't know. It was just bad.
We've been getting all the fucking wind lately, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah, right. It makes me sneeze a lot.
Because of pollen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to get this crazy-ass shadow off of him, Byron began stabbing it with a screwdriver. Because that's what you do. You get a screwdriver.
And you stab at the shadow on your ankles.
Yep. I'm surprised he didn't, like, stab his ankles on accident.
I mean, that's what you would have done.
Yeah. Because I'm very clumsy.
Yeah. So, Byron's dad and brother were like, you need help. You're very crazy. You're seeing shadows.
You cuckoo.
You got poking in your head. You're hitting yourself in the head. You've armed yourself with a screwdriver. You gotta get some help.
I feel like him hitting himself in the head is way, like, worsening the shit. Like, his concussion? Head. Yeah, his concussion. Like, it really did not help. Made it so much worse.
Like, extra rattled his brain?
Yeah.
So they tried to talk Brian into getting some professional help, but he wasn't about that life.
Nah, he's like, fuck you.
I ain't doing it. So Byron said, me and my screwdriver, we got a handle on all of this that's going on. That is a direct quote. It's not. Made that up. So his brother and his dad, they were so desperate to help him that they reached out to their clergy. Oh, I was supposed to run this by Gabe, but too late. I'm just going to be offensive. And a reverend showed up with some Hawaiian magic.
What is that? Do they have shamans in Hawaii, Gabriel?
I think so. I didn't know they have high priests, so last time I checked.
Oh, he said they might have high priests. But he's not sure.
If you don't understand what Gabe was saying, that's fine. We rarely do either.
Well, he's mumbling. He's all the way in the corner, so the mics are probably picking him up.
So they were instructed to dig 4 holes. Ready for this?
This is some black magic bullshit.
4 holes in each corner of their property. Bury rice. Koi. Mullet. I don't know what mullet is. Gabe's mullet right now.
The hairstyle? You just cut off a bunch of mullets and you put it.
And then pour some beer out for the homies. And that whole thing would keep the spirits out.
Do some Hawaiian voodoo.
Ooh. Straight up Hawaiian voodoo. And another reverend had visited the home multiple times to perform blessings. That might have been some, like, Catholic bullshit.
It's all black magic. Some shit my grandma and her sisters would do.
So I don't think any of that helped. I think that Byron just needed meds.
Yeah, for sure. He needed a big glass
of H2O.
Of H2O.
To swallow down that equally as big glass of pills.
Yep. I wonder how many pills he would need to take.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Can't say.
Good thing you're not a doctor.
You'd be the worst
fucking doctor.
God, no sympathy. I'm like, I'm in pain. That's okay.
And you'd be like, oh.
Shh, go home.
Put some Vicks on your feet.
I'd be like, and on your chest. It's happy hour, and I have to get going, so you're going to have to come back.
You're later. On your own. Bye.
Gotta go.
So, during the same time, Byron is fighting off the spirits at his home. His work life was getting shook up, too. And he was transferred to another work group at Xerox. So, who wants to have all the fun at home and not bring some of that excitement to work?
Not me.
Not Byron. No. Because he brought all his crazy to work. Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
That's Brittany's favorite sound to me.
I love it.
By the by.
Because this motherfucker's crazy.
He's crazy.
And you deserve that sound effect.
Because she's the same song. It was just constantly playing in the background as he walked around.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. He started accusing his coworkers of harassing him. He said other repairmen were tampering with his machines to get him fired. Specifically, he thought one of his coworkers, Jason Balatico, he thought Jason Balatico was an FBI agent and had bugged his home and was mutilating his fish.
So I wonder if, like, his fish were showing up, like, mutilated, and if he was doing it to them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, maybe he blacked out and mutilated his own fish and blamed it on Jason.
Or, like, nothing ever happened.
Or it never happened.
We don't know.
Like, he thought he was seeing mutilated fish.
Yeah, and it didn't. Crazy.
Like, we don't know what's going on in that crazy fucking head of his.
We have no idea.
He also accused another coworker named Ron Kawame being the ringleader and making all the others fuck with him too, so he would lose his job. He thought all his coworkers were out to get him, torturing him, being mean and nasty, being mean girls.
they were just a bunch of Lindsay Lohans.
But I'm pretty sure they were all just staying away from him.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Because they knew how crazy he was. Yeah. Like, I'm going to stay away from you. So all these accusations were completely unfounded, and he was just making that shit up in his crazy ass head. People had such a hard time dealing with him that they started icing him out, which I get it. If I had a coworker constantly accusing me or other employees of things we weren't doing, I'd be like, bye, staying away from you.
Dude, I had a coworker like that.
Seeing you.
Never.
Never.
I had a coworker like that, was like really like sweet and friendly. I'm not going to talk too much shit because she won't listen, but like, very sweet and friendly, but then the next breath would be backstabbing you to management. Like, just trying to get you...
Like, two-faced?
Yeah, in trouble for, like, no reason.
Yeah, I don't
like made-up like stories. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Then he took one step further and started threatening his coworkers' lives. You would think he would have been fired, but no, he wasn't fired. And in 1993, Byron got super pissed about something, which he probably made up in his head.
Probably.
And he kicked in an elevator door at work. Bam! Which you shouldn't do.
I mean, what did the elevator do to you?
It probably closed on him too early.
Oh, that happened. That's annoying. I get that.
Justine deals with that.
Dude, all the time.
On a weekly basis. So he was arrested for third-degree criminal property damage. Was he fired then?
Nope. This is all very upsetting.
They should have fired him. Like,
dude,
what are they doing?
And we're not even halfway there yet.
Maybe they were scared to fire him.
I think things were different back then, where it's like they just wanted to give their employees, like, a chance to...
Like, multiple chances?
Redeem themselves. But, like, you don't fuck with this shit. Anyways. You don't fuck with this shit coming up right now. He would often talk about carrying out a mass shooting at work if he were to ever be fired. Fire him. Right now.
But they didn't want to get... They didn't want to have a mass shooting at the Xerox.
I mean... Kill him. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You know what's funny is that
very demented
that sentence came to my head, and I was like, you probably shouldn't say that. But then I was like, oh, you thought it. Just say it.
As most things do.
I do have a filter. I just choose to ignore it.
Yeah. I don't even think you have a filter.
I heard myself before I said it, and then I just didn't stop myself.
That's okay.
Anyways.
I still love you.
I know. Did they fire him then? No, they did not. But because of all his threatening and all his other bullshit, Byron's boss, Melvin Lee, finally reported him to a James Hughes, who was a security manager for Xerox at the time. Hughes investigated and decided that Brian had the potential... God damn it! Byron had the potential to possibly be violent. So he was ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation and anger management courses. I don't know what they do in anger management. Like,
they teach you how to not be so angry?
Does it work?
Hence, anger management?
Does it work?
No.
Clearly not.
It does not. Trust me, it doesn't.
So, basically, you can act crazy at work. You can threaten your coworkers. And you don't get fired. You get
classes.
He was admitted to Castle Medical Center for 5 days. He was examined by three different psychologists, and while they all believed he had a delusional disorder, they didn't think he posed any kind of threat to himself or any others. Stupid. It's all stupid.
I'm over it.
And after Brian left there, God damn it, after Byron left there, he didn't seek any further treatment because why would he? He hadn't lost his job. His family hadn't kicked him out. He had gone. They're like, you're a little crazy, but you're fine.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I'm
just
cool.
Go to anger management. And if you don't want to, it's fine.
No big deal.
It's fine.
Coworkers say they remember Byron leaving drawings. Here we go. Leaving drawings of a gunman shooting people just out and about around the office. I wonder if he was, like, taking post-it notes and, like, drawing his artwork and posting them on cubicles. Yeah. Happy Monday. And then walking away.
Happy Monday. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you.
I made this one with curly hair because you have curly hair. And they remember him doing that as late as 1995. So that would have been 2 years after he was required to get help. So clearly his help hadn't helped him and he was still doing the same Byron
bullshit.
Crazy bullshit.
So after this, Xerox began phasing out the type of photocopier that Byron worked on. Byron absolutely refused to learn the new machine. He's like, nope.
I don't want to learn it,
so I'm not going to do it. So did Xerox fire him for being an idiot? They did. The end. We're done with the story.
Aw, guys, thanks for listening.
Love you guys.
It was great.
No.
All right.
It's not the end. Yet again, Byron was not fired for being an asshole. Instead, on November 1st, 1999, his manager told him he would start training the following day on this new photocopier. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have to learn this. We're going to start training you.
Bright and early tomorrow, you come in.
And it's happening. I think that made Byron snap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Byron Uesugi would later tell Dr. Michael Wellner, who examined him for his insanity defense, he thought if he refused to take the training, management would fire him, and when they didn't, he said, quote, I decided to give them a reason to fire me.
Major I mean, I feel like all the reasons before that were reasons to fire him.
They should have fired you when you were threatening your coworkers' lives. Like, the coworkers' lives. Like, you don't threaten lives and not get fired. And you should have sought medical attention after you got your fucking head.
I think sometimes zonked. That just makes secret. We have a friend that hit his head, and he's crazy.
Oh, yup. That's true.
He hasn't, like, killed anybody, but...
He's not that crazy to go over there and kill somebody, but he is pretty crazy.
Yeah, he is crazy in other ways. On November 2nd, 1999, at 8 a.m., then 40-year-old Byron Uesugi. I have to over-pronunciate his name because I just want to call him
Brian.
I think because we have so many Bryants in my life, I just see B-Y. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's Byron. Mm-hmm. I mean, Byron.
Right. Well, now you say it correctly.
Wow. Anyways, just ignore me. He showed up to work in his usual work attire, stopped to speak at a fellow employee. Oh, and I heard somewhere that his usual work attire was a Hawaiian shirt and, like, khaki pants.
Hey, that's cool. Oh, my gosh. So, Bryant, when he lived in Hawaii,
uh-huh.
when he was younger, mm-hmm. he told us to Scott, and Scott told me. Mm-hmm. But, like, he used to go to school without any shoes on. You could go to school without any shoes on. Or he said he went to school one day without a slipper. He only had one slipper on.
Slipper? Was he drunk? How did that happen?
He was young. He might have been drunk.
Your brother's stupid as hell.
Brian is Gabriel's brother, FYI. I don't know if you heard that. But.
And both the one that hit their head, Alika and Brian, will never hear this because they don't listen to us. Fuck all of you. I don't even think Tom listens.
No.
Tom couldn't figure out how to get the podcast on his phone. Like, I had to do it for him.
I'm a few podcasts behind.
Of course you are.
Fuck all you hoes.
Bitches and hoes.
That's
yeah, true. Thank you, Drew.
Alright, I'm gonna start this over, because this is serious. We're at the serious part now.
Are you starting over, so we gotta cut all that out?
No, you can leave it.
Okay.
So... Just because we went on a tangent for a while there, let's restart at the date.
Okay.
So this is November 2nd, 1999, 8 a.m. This is the day after
his manager told him that
he was going to learn
the new photocopier.
Bitch, you're going to learn that new system. And he, nope. Anyways, so he had stopped to speak to a fellow employee.
How you doing, brah?
Oh, no. God damn it. That fellow employee would later recall Byron being completely normal and calm. Then Byron headed to a water cooler and hid behind it. He was crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Why?
I don't know why.
I feel like he looks like a major creep just hiding behind him.
Nobody sees me. Nobody sees me.
Like he blended. Like he's going to blend in.
Idiot. So while taking this fucking stupid water break, Byron decided he was going to follow through with his plan. And later, I can't remember if he was testifying or when he was interviewed, he told police or somebody that he remembered having butterflies.
Oh, that feeling that you get when you see somebody when that you like? When you're
excited? Yeah, butterflies are like an excited feeling, right? I don't think I've ever... Oh, I guess when you're nervous.
I get butterflies... Like, I got butterflies when I saw Scotty.
Like, earlier?
I still get butterflies.
So upsetting. I have a funny story about that, so another time.
Okay.
on the second floor of the Xerox building, located at 1200 North Nimitz Highway, Brian Uesugi headed into a computer room where Ron Kawame, Jason Bellatico, and Randall Shin were all sitting. He walked straight up to Ron and shot him in the back of the head. When Jason realized what was going on, he charged at Byron in an attempt to get the gun away from him. But before Jason could reach him, Byron shot him 5 times. Byron then completely ignored Randall Shin and left the room. I can't, like...
Like, imagine being...
Sorry, I'm not laughing. I sip... beer shot out of my beer bottle.
Just one drip.
Like, one drop right on my arm.
I can't believe being... Like, I can't imagine being Randall. Seeing that happen, you're scared that you're going to be shot next.
Yeah.
And he just leaves the room. Like...
He's like, Randall, enjoy your day, sir.
Maybe Randall helped him in some way.
I don't know.
Or maybe Randall just didn't give him shit. Didn't give him shit like the other ones did.
Like, he thought the other ones were doing because the other ones were doing
That's what I mean.
So he spared Randall's life, but I can only imagine, like, the damage he did to him. Like, I can't imagine witnessing two people die and, like, being okay after that.
Yeah, it's like your coworker.
And then also being terrified that you were going to lose your life.
Yeah. But Byron wasn't done. He hadn't ruined enough lives yet. So he headed down the hall to a conference room where a meeting was going on. In the meeting was Melvin Lee. Isn't that his manager? Ronald Kataoka, Peter Mark, John Sakamoto, and Ford Kanahira.
Kanahira? I don't know.
Kanahira. I don't know. I butchered those names. So he walked up to Melvin Lee, his manager, shot him 4 times, then went up to Ronald Kataoka, shot him 4 times, then he went up to Peter Mark, only shot him 2 times, then went up to John Sakamoto, shot him 4 times, and then went up to Ford Kanahira, shot him 4 times. 5 times, actually. Not 4. 5. At some point, while he was shooting Ford, it's believed Byron had to stop and reload his weapon so he could have enough bullets to kill Ford. Dude. Like, I can't imagine being that person laying on the floor waiting for the shooter to reload.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he had already been shot. Like, he was already
in pain. Oh, yeah, he's already shot.
All his friends were lying there dying.
Yeah.
And
like, you have to sit there and wait
for your execution.
Yeah. To die, basically. Yeah. You're waiting to die. So after that, Byron left the conference room and went after another coworker named Steve. But Steve was able to run out of the building. He ran. He's like, bye.
Ran like the wind, man.
Byron decided it would not be the smartest moves for him to follow Steve. So instead, he jumped in a Xerox company man.
Perfect. Did you give him a piggyback ride? Did he do the crab walk?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, God. Okay. So Byron jumped in a Xerox company van.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense.
And drove 5 miles to the Hawaii Nature Center in Makiki, near downtown Honolulu.
All 7 men would lose their lives in the Xerox building before ambulances could arrive.
That's so sad. Which, like,
is the worst thing. It wasn't even, like, a fighting chance. Like, he put so many bullets in them, they just died. Fucker. So police and Byron would then be in a standoff for 5 hours, wasting valuable tax dollars.
God.
While he sat in a van, smoking cigarettes and reading magazines.
I mean, just give yourself up already. What are you doing?
Dude, and then I was watching, a news reporter. I don't fucking remember. I watched very many things. Read lots of things. I don't even know what's happening. But they had to, lock down all the schools in the surrounding area. And that they made all the people at the nature center, because there was people there. It was the middle of the day. Like, they made them head to higher ground just in case there was, like, a...
He shot some more?
Yeah. Dude, just kill yourself. Don't most people kill themselves before they do the bullshit like that?
Yeah. They normally do, actually.
Oops. Sorry, him and Mike. So, he was very clearly distraught by all the innocent men that he had just murdered and their families' lives that he had just forever destroyed. He was real upset.
I mean,
he was smoking cigarettes.
I feel like he wasn't that upset.
No, clearly he wasn't at all.
I feel like he was just smoking cigarettes and reading magazines. Like, it was just a normal fucking day in the neighborhood. Like,
just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's like, well. So Byron at some point stated to police, I had to do what I had to do to make a point. What the fuck was your point? What was your point?
That he didn't want to learn the damn new Xerox photocopier.
So blow up the Xerox machines.
No, he decided to kill all the people.
Perfect.
So he didn't have to go back to work.
Perfect. The whole thing came to an end at around 3 p.m. after Byron finally surrendered to police. It was, like, very anticlimactic. He just was like, all right, I'm done. Hands up.
Why 5 hours, though? Why didn't you just do that? Like, why didn't you just wait at the Xerox company?
For someone to come get you?
And just, for someone to come arrest you. Because,
I don't know.
Like you said, you just wasted tax dollars. You knew you were going to have to surrender.
Just to be a dick.
Idiot. So, before we get into the trial and punishment of this crazy-ass fool.
Crazy-ass dude.
We want to talk a little bit about the victims. First, we have Ron Kawame, who was 56 years old. He had been employed by Xerox for 30 years, and he had one son and one grandson. He liked to golf, and he really loved his job. He was old.
That is not old.
Oh, my God. He was old.
56 is not old.
How old is Brad Pitt?
57.
Okay, that's not old. Then we have Jason Balatico, who was a handsome 33-year-old, and he was considered very popular. Next, we have Melvin Lee, who was 58 years old. He had been with Xerox for almost 30 years and was so close to retirement. He was a field manager for the customer service team, and he was a married man, and he was said to have a big heart, be soft-spoken, and non-confrontational. Dude, imagine being almost, like, you're almost retired. You put in all this time.
And too, like, this Melvin Lee was his manager, and people remember him being, like, soft-spoken and non-confrontational. Like, he wasn't picking on you. He wasn't being mean to you.
Yeah.
He was trying to help you save your job and get you trained on what you needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was, I feel
like. I had to go to training last week. I didn't want to fucking go.
I feel like he was just trying to help him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe Melvin knew Byron's situation, and I feel like maybe felt bad for him and wanted to give
him. Yeah, he was like, maybe that's why
maybe that's why he didn't fire him, because he felt bad for him. He knew that he got into a car accident, his head wasn't in the right place.
Or he just felt sad for him because he was clearly in one crazy person.
Yeah, whatever.
Then there was Ronald. What did we say his last name was?
Kataoka.
Kataoka. All right, whatever. Sorry, sir.
Ronald Kataoka.
Thank you. Was 50 years old and had worked for Xerox for about 10 years. He was the father of one 11-year-old daughter. They loved playing basketball together. Dude, I read that and I, like, wanted to cry. Like, these are all someone's dad, husband.
Grandpa.
Son. He's remembered as being upbeat. Peter Mark was 46 years old, and unfortunately there isn't too much more information provided about him, but I thought maybe that's what his family wanted. I don't think I would want my family member. I don't know. I'm, like, pretty... I'm all doing social media shit all the time. I'm very private about my life. But, like, personal stuff, like, I don't like it out there. So I would understand why a family would want their loved one's life kept private. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
John Sakamoto was 36 years old. He was married and was the father to one son and one daughter. He's an all-around family man. And I read somewhere that he was, like, a great neighbor.
He was a what?
A great neighbor.
Oh.
Ford, oh, here we go. Kanihira?
Yep.
Was 41 years old. He was married and had one son. He was described as cheerful, childlike, innocent, and happy-go-lucky. Then we had Byron Uesugi, 40 years old. He worked for Xerox for 15 years. He should have worked for Xerox for 5 years and then been fired at the beginning of his bullshit.
Yeah. Crazy ass.
And he's not a victim. FYI.
No, he's just the monster. He's El Cucuy. Byron's trial started May 15, 2000. Of course, he pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. He said he felt like an outsider at work and feared his coworkers were trying to have him fired. Two doctors for his defense testified that, in their opinion, he was in fact insane. Eye roll. Anyways, two other doctors for the prosecution argued that while they both believed Byron was schizophrenic, he did not meet the criteria to be considered insane. Dr. Michael Wellner said that, in his opinion, Byron knew what he had done was wrong and that he had carried out the shooting because he was angry.
So I think, like, sure, he was a crazy person. I think 1,000% he was schizophrenic. But there's so many schizophrenic people that do not go to their place of work and kill 7 innocent people. And the fact that he had been threatening it for so many years, like, I feel like it was premeditated. Like, it wasn't... Obviously, he showed up there with guns and ammunition. It wasn't like he was there and snapped and strangled someone.
Well, he had also been doing those drawings.
Yeah, he was plotting this for so long.
It's been in his head for years, you know? And I think that maybe he was waiting for the right moment to do it. Mm-hmm. So when his manager told him, hey, you got to learn this, maybe he just fucking snapped. Yeah. He's like, fuck you, I'm not going to learn this. And the next day, he came up and shot everybody. Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Perfect.
The jury agreed with the prosecution and rejected that insanity defense. They said, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Bullshit.
Bye.
We don't call bullshit.
You sounded very southern right there. I call bullshit.
Do you remember that's from?
What?
How to Lose the Guy in 10 Days.
I love that movie.
And they were all playing bullshit. And Matthew McConaughey kept saying, bullshit.
Bullshit. All right, all right, all right.
Oh, God. Matthew McConaughey lost all his sparkle for me.
When he said, all right, all right, all right. Uh-huh. What movie was that?
Magic Mike.
Was that? Mm-hmm. Oh. I feel like he said that earlier on, but you would know better. Okay, you would know.
I don't know why I would know. I don't watch movies.
But I feel like you watch Magic Mike all the time.
Every Sunday.
After we record, you go home and watch Magic Mike.
Watch Magic Mike.
So... 1 month after the trial began on August 8th, 2000, Byron Uesugi was found guilty of 7 murders and 1 attempted murder.
That was for Steve.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Steven. Steve is the one who got away, right?
Yeah.
He was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Side note, Hawaii does not have the death penalty, so he wasn't given that punishment.
What's wrong with your people, Gabriel? Why don't they have the death penalty?
So one of the prosecuting attorneys has been quoted as saying, I don't see this as a victory. The bottom line is 7 people were killed unlawfully, and so many families will have wives and children without their husbands and fathers. I don't see that as a victory.
Preach.
Preach.
So in 2005, the family had filed a civil lawsuit against Xerox and the hospital that had originally done the psychiatric evaluation on Byron. And they won. But the families believed that both Xerox and the hospital had failed to take preventative actions based on what they had said was clear signs of Byron's mental instability. I'm with them.
Yeah. Amen to that, sister.
You had so many reports at Xerox. So many so that the security team had to get involved. And then... 3 doctors who agreed that he was delusional.
Was it 3 or 2?
3. Oh, no, it was 3.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's like, further action should have been taken.
For sure. And I felt like...
like, this all, this shit could have been prevented.
Mm-hmm. And, like, this man was clearly insane. Like, not insane. He was crazy. He was obviously schizophrenic. But he should have got help instead of it escalating this far. Like, I feel like people just ignored it. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, he's just weird.
Like, what the fuck were they thinking, though?
Nothing. They're protecting their own asses. So the lawsuit was settled out of court and it remains confidential. So I don't know, like, the dollar amount that the families were awarded.
I think it was, 70,000.
No, no way. They could have filed a civil lawsuit against him.
Yeah.
But this lawsuit against, they got a good chunk because, Xerox set up a scholarship fund just strictly for the kids for 400,000.
Yeah, I know that. Read that. So, but I'm saying
they wouldn't have paid $4,000 for school and then only paid the family $70,000. That's only $10,000.
No, but there's $70,000
multi-billion-dollar
thrown in there company. Somewhere. Like, I don't know where that money might have been his money. But maybe, because I think the court.
Don't cut any of this out. This is how me and Brittany argue on podcasting days.
I'll go back. You know what? I'm not even going to go back and read. I don't even give a fuck about it. Whatever.
Anyways, fact of the matter is they won money. Never enough to replace their family members, but. Whatever.
Oh, that's what it was. I remember now. It was the court ordered him to pay $70,000 to the families of the victims. Got it.
Xerox moved out of the building at 1200 North Nimitz Highway after the massacre, and the building remained empty until producers from the show Lost, never watched Lost,
who one episode. Sucky fucking finale.
Oh, okay. They built a soundstage there in 2004. I guess to just, like, film indoor scenes or, I don't fucking know.
Who cares?
State legislature. Ugh, that word. Then passed a law that requires doctors to reveal information about the mental state of someone, oh, the hiccups, who are trying to buy a gun.
It should have been a law already.
And then Byron is housed in Mississippi. Oh,
I have it.
Hold on. Brittany has
it. Hold on. I have it. So, I have screenshots of it.
Look at that porno shot Hunter's taking right now.
I can't see.
He's looking over his shoulder.
Look back at it. Look back at it. Byron is housed at the Tallahatchie County Correctional Facility in Tutwiler, Mississippi.
Tutwiler. Oh, perfect.
Tutwiler. Because, so, Hawaii has an issue with overcrowding in their prisons. So, they do a lot of prison transfers. So, they have a lot of facilities in Arizona. I believe they have Kentucky. Mississippi is one of them. Mm-hmm. And some other states, but Oklahoma. Oklahoma. So they'll house their inmates from Hawaii and they'll put them in there. Mm. It sucks for the families, like their families, because they can't visit their
loved ones
in prison. Well,
don't go to prison.
I mean, it's true, but still, like, it just sucks. So, hope you guys enjoyed that. Story of that fucking crazy ass.
The trip to the islands.
Trip to the islands. The ocean.
The wrong side of the freaking world.
It's super Jamaican.
So now.
They went from Pacific to the Atlantic Ocean real quick.
The ocean.
No, this is not a geography podcast.
So now we're getting into our.
Stranger danger.
All right,
that's enough.
Hey guys, so before we go on with our stranger danger stories, I just wanted to give you guys an FYI. My husband Scott will be telling his, and he is not PC whatsoever. There aren't any filters with him, so if he says anything that offends you, we apologize ahead of time. So, hope you guys enjoy his stories, and on with the show. So, we have a special guest.
Since we were doing special guests this episode,
yeah.
We decided to add one more.
We're doing Scotty.
How you guys doing?
So tell us your story.
Okay, so I have like a kind of like three stories all combined, but they're all like super similar. So I figure I'll just tell them.
Wait,
all
time you're fine. Move the pillow from behind you, though, Scott, because it's making noise. So you can move around.
Okay. So yeah, so they're all kind of like super similar. So when I was a kid, a kid is a little dramatic. When I was like a teenager, like almost graduating high school, maybe like 16 to 18, somewhere in there.
You're still a kid at that point.
Yeah, I had like three different occasions where I got stopped by what I thought was a prostitute. But the weird thing is, I wasn't in like a prostitute area where I grew up. It wasn't like a hood, or it wasn't like a fucking red light district or anything like that. It was a normal fucking.
We don't have that here.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a place where you typically see like fucking prostitutes and shit, right?
I know it's like the hood now.
Yeah, dude, you go back now, bro. Yeah. Maybe it was like that the whole time, and I just didn't realize.
We had like that kid vision fucking, that was stupid.
Yeah. Just all blasé to it, yeah. So one time I'm waiting for the bus on Tropicana, and I'm going to the Boulevard Mall, and on Tropicana, which is busy as shit, this lady stops. I'm in broad daylight. This is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Broad daylight, this lady just stops on the side of the road, and she goes, "Hey, do you need a ride?" Now, I was in my naivete, however the fuck you say it. In my naivety,
aka laziness,
how the fuck?
Stupidness.
Yeah, like she comes over and I'm thinking to myself, like, what do you do? This is Tropicana, bro. Like, this is a really busy street. And she's like, do you need a ride? And like, I didn't know what to do, and I was like, man, I don't want to take the bus to Boulevard Mall.
It's pretty far. Yeah, that's a distance.
So low key, I got in real quick, and then she gave me a ride.
Wait, okay, so this motherfucker. When he originally told me the story, he's like, oh, no. He's like, I said no. I don't need a ride. Years later, what do I find out?
He was like, yep. Pop that lock, bitch. Let me in.
Hey, man, Boulevard Mall is really far, okay? So on the way to Boulevard Mall, she's asking me, like, weird, like, lead-up questions. So do you have a girlfriend? And I was like, yeah. She's like, do you guys kiss? It's like, what?
Such a perv question.
Like, what the fuck? Sicko. I was like, yeah, I guess. And then eventually, by the time
she opened your mouth.
Dude, I swear to God, like, asking all these weird lead-up questions. And eventually she got to the point where she's like, do you guys have sex? Do you guys fuck? And I was like, I turn into a, I'm not at liberty to discuss this.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, so we get there, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, I just got out of the car real quick. I was like, okay, thanks for the ride, bye. And I just fucking walked to Chic real quick, because that was the first store that she dropped me out by.
Chic.
Yeah. Oh. The last store that I would be expected to go into. So as a quick one, just weird. Like, you could tell she was like asking little questions because she's a prostitute or whatever. So on the same fucking street. Now, Tropicana is a bad street overall, but in this area...
Wait, before you get into the story, I have a different opinion. I feel like she might have been like a little bit of a child molester and was trying to...
Yeah. I don't know. I was pretty tall at that time, so maybe.
I don't know.
He also didn't have a beard. He had a Justin Bieber haircut. Yeah.
Oh, you did? You went to the little flippy.
With your puka shell.
Oh, God. Hey,
That shit was lit back in the day.
His eyebrow piercing?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was so lame. So lame.
Everybody thought you were a hot shit.
Yeah.
She needed glasses, but it's fine.
Wow, I hate you.
Anyways, go ahead. Finish your story.
All right, so the next one is very similar. It's on Tropicana, but it's a dude this time.
Oh, no.
So I'm on Tropicana, and I'm just walking down from 7-Eleven, just walking down Tropicana back to my house, which is straight down Trop. And this guy pulls up, and this is like maybe like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, not that late. It's not time where you would stop on the side of Trop. Given how busy the street is.
Oh, God.
You good? All right. So, now that she's done dying. So this dude stops in this little, like, RAV4 SUV, and he pulls up on the side of the road, and he's like, hey, do you need a ride? And I'm walking, and I'm like, no, I'm good, man. Like, thanks. That's really random. I got to be honest with you. And he's like, oh, are you sure? Like, I'm going down that way. I can give you a ride. I'm like, what is it about my face that screams, like,
I'm looking for a prostitute. I don't understand.
Give me a ride.
Do I have I need a prostitute face? I don't get it.
Maybe they think you are the prostitute.
Were you shaking
wearing puka shells and a Hollister t-shirt? What kind of weird ass prostitutes are going down Tropicana?
You're a Hollister prostitute.
So I'm walking down.
But were you walking down the street flipping your hair?
Probably, dude. I got that weird like twitch, like I got like neck Tourette's. Yeah, so I keep walking and he pulls up a little bit more. He's like, no, I promise, like I'm going down the street, like there's no point for you to walk. I'm like, dude, I'm good, man. Like I don't know what you want me to tell you, I'm good. And eventually, like there's like this awkward pause where I'm kind of waiting for him to go, but we're looking at each other and he goes, do you want a blowjob? I was like, that escalated quickly, my man. You didn't even, you went to 0 to 100. Yeah. I was like, and then I was just like, oh, I'm good. And I think I ended up hopping the wall. You know that Villa Knowles that's right there?
Yeah.
I ended up hopping the wall into Villa Knowles. I'd rather deal with ghetto people than fucking deal with that.
He would have gave you a blowjob and been like, that's $50.
At least I get a BJ from somebody I know in there. Fucking yeah. So Ready? And then the last one is the very similar again, but this time it's Hacienda, which is only a couple streets around. Yeah. So turns out I guess that area really was fucked up the whole time. There's a bunch of people weird male prostitutes and fucking weird. She could have been a tranny for all. Hey, I got a free ride. I got a free ride to Boulevard Mall. All is well, and I'm here today to tell this story. So the last one is there's this walking down Hacienda, which is like a rural street. Like, yeah, this is just straight up houses. Yeah, nothing. Nothing but houses. And I'm walking down the street. And again, it's fucking broad daylight. These dudes got some gall on them. And this car pulls up on the side of the road. And this is not a busy street. But he pulls up on the side of the road. And he goes, hey, I'm looking for the movie store. And he's like this Hispanic guy. And you know, like, you ever see, like, this might sound racist, but it's not. It's also true. You know how Cubans, like, Cubans straight from Cuba dress, like, really, like, bedazzled, like, colors, white pants, they got the fucking, like, unbuttoned down. He's dressed exactly like that, but he's,
all
like,
all the gold chains. Exactly. Yeah. We have, like, 5 gold chains.
Yeah, so,
10 gold chains.
Okay.
So, yeah, snakeskin boots and shit. Fucking, so he pulls up on the side of the road, and he's like, hey, do you know where the movie store is? And I was like, for one, I was 18, I was like, do those even exist anymore? Like, I don't know, man. The only one I know is the one down by King China or whatever the fuck, down by Albertsons, the Blockbuster on Mountain Vista. That's the only one I ever knew.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, there's a Blockbuster down on Mountain Vista or some shit. I'm not sure. And it just kind of caught me off guard. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, Do you know where the adult movie store is, though?
Oh, I was like, what? That's what he was really after.
I was like, I have no idea, dude. And like, there's kind of like this awkward pause where I like, again, same with the other dude, like awkward pause. I'm sitting there looking at him. He's looking at me. He's kind of like waiting for one. He's like, you can go now. And like, he puts his hand like kind of like on his like groin.
On his white pants?
Yeah, he puts it. Yeah, exactly. He puts his hand on his groin, like basically touching his dick, like touching his chub, and he starts like rubbing it, just like looking me in the eye. And I'm sitting there like, oh, what happened? I was like, okay, bye. Yeah, fucking flipping my Biebs head. I was like, I'll see you later.
Biebs out.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like,
what the hell?
I don't know what it is about broad daylight. Some random white kid walking down the street who's, I thought looked unassuming.
Probably because you look unassuming.
Yeah.
And you were really skinny back then. You probably look like you couldn't fend yourself off.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're, that's that beard.
Yeah.
The way the light hits your skin. Yeah.
Walking down the street. Oh, thanks, buddy. You flatter me.
Gross. All right, so don't walk down the street anymore. Don't just...
Yeah, don't be a pedestrian.
Yeah.
Don't be white. Don't be unassuming.
No.
Just don't be on Trop and Hacienda.
Don't ever be on Trop and Hacienda. Yeah,
don't go back to that neck of the woods.
Yes. I mean, I feel like Trop and Hacienda in any neighborhood probably isn't great.
In any
city, state,
we live in between country. Those two streets.
I currently live there now.
Do you want to plug anything?
Plug yourself, man.
Hey, go watch me play video games. twitch.tv/ScottSoGonzo. Other than that, no.
Perfect. Okay, well, we're done here. We're gonna go downstairs, get fucked up.
Yeah,
we're celebrating episode 10
because it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
We started drinking at noon.
I'll be asleep by 8:30.
We are ready. So, hope you guys enjoyed Scott's Stranger Dangers. You got 3 for 1.
Three for the price of one.
Yep.
I enjoyed them.
I love them.
I've heard some of them before.
Well, yeah. Because we're his friends.
And I forgot about
them. Well, you're his friends. I'm his wife.
You're like his friend, too, though.
Best friends.
Gay.
Gross. All right. Let's run through social media real quick. Sorry, you guys are trapped here while we do it.
Go for it.
IADC podcast, Snapchat, and Twitter. It's About Damn Crime. Run It Together, Space It Out. We are on Instagram and Facebook. Send us your fucking Stranger Dangers.
What are you guys doing?
Do it.
Your lives. I know you have a Stranger Danger. Scott had 3 and he's a guy.
And I'm sure he has more.
He has way more in his arsenal. Yes, he does. He's shaking his head, yes.
Where I'm the stranger.
Oh, shit. Send him to itsaboutdamncrime@gmail.com.
Please.
Do it right now.
We need them. Even if you know us.
Yeah.
Send them to us.
Send them to us. And then they're even more fun because then I can bag on you extra hard. We're up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Player FM.
Yes.
Okay. Go rate, review, subscribe.
And our website.
You can listen on our website. We had one more review on iTunes. Wait.
Justine's finding a review right now.
Oh, we got 2 mas.
Oh, we got 2 reviews.
2 more. Yeah. We have one from VDoc1277. That is a 5-star.
Yeah.
And one from D's Boots. 5 stars, too. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Keep them coming. And Gabe, want to put your head in here? Plug your YouTube channel, which is where we're going to go up live on Wednesday.
Just search Gabriel Jaime on YouTube. Gabriel Jaime, G-A-B-R-I-E-L, Jaime, H-A-I-M-E. The vlog will be up on Wednesday when the podcast goes up.
And we'll tag Gabe's social media in our social media
at some point.
Thank you for coming, Gabe. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel, for putting
your camera in our face. It was real uncomfortable.
Thank you, Scott, for
your
Stranger Danger.
For sharing your stories.
And
for enjoying hearing yourself talk. Okay, he was real excited about this. All right, guys, we're going to go get drunk. We're going to Snapchat it. And
remember.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
There's a lot of desert out there.
Which the man in the white pants was going to tell Scott after he was done with him.
That was perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, guys. Catch you guys next Wednesday.
Yeah.
For our 11th episode.
There we go.
Yep. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.